Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody, and to this special bonus edition where we're going to pick up where we left off on our interview with Yvonne Sneden. And you know what? Let's jump right in.
From the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Okay, I am ready.
I kind of set you up there. Yeah. Just as a little bit of review, in the earlier episode, we were talking about Yvonne's second near-death experience, which was this amazing, amazing experience. And for our listeners, if you haven't heard it yet, I recommend you go listen to that first and then come back to this, even though it sounds backwards. But we're now going to talk about your first near-death experience. And these bonus episodes are where we talk about things that are a little bit sometimes out of the ordinary, not the classic NDEs, but can be other types of related experiences. And this is going to be a whole ton of fun. So, Yvonne, how far before your second NDE was your first one? You mentioned it was kind of brought on by similar medical situations.
Yes, Eric, and thank you again for having me for the second NDE. So the first one happened about 2 to 3 weeks prior to my second one. My first one was because of arrhythmia, and I had taken that medication, and as I said, accidental overdose. So the first time was a similar situation. I was afraid of having the severe arrhythmia episode that you feel like you're going to die. And so I wanted a peaceful night. So I took the medication, which later on an anesthetist at Duke told me that this medication created a hard stop for the second one. For the first one, she said it was probably sleep apnea and that I had probably stopped breathing for 4 minutes. And then I was gone. And that's what was the explanation when I went to the doctor.
Wow, that's a long time. So this isn't a medication that you take preemptively. This is something you only take when you're having a bad episode. Well, you know that now.
Yeah, I thought that it was going to just regulate, but actually it was just for when I had an episode. So anyway, so that night, again, I take them for the first time, actually, I take the medication. And then I remember putting my head on the bed, and then suddenly I see my body lifeless on the bed. And at the end of at the feet of my bed, at the end of the bed, I see two beings of light, two male energy, male beings of light. They both were about 12, 13 feet high. They had long white robes. They had blondish whitish hair, short, a little bit wavy, and they looked identical, as if they were cloned from each other. They looked totally identical. And they were both there with a long robe, tall, kind of thin, tall, and very handsome, very beautiful beings. And they emanated a lot of majesty and power and strength. And they were just looking at me there. And then when I noticed them, telepathically, they told me, Yvonne, it's time to go. Leaving Earth is over. It's time to go.
Did you wonder, go where?
No, because, you know, once you're outside of your body, everything seems normal. You are not questioning anything. It's like everything that's happening is completely normal. And so for me, I was like, okay.
And these two beings, you didn't recognize them. You didn't get any feeling as to who they were.
They were more of, to me, looking very divine, like like celestial soldier or something, or escorts. You know, they were guides, escort beings. They felt very powerful. I didn't feel like, oh, that overwhelming compassion or empathy, but it was more like power, divinely powerful, like soldiers, like, you know, more, but divine, the loving ones. And so it didn't make sense that I wanted to go with them because my daughter was sleeping in the next room. But I have to say, and I have heard my daughter when I was sharing that experience, so I have to clarify that when we are outside of our body and moving to the next life, it's almost like everything that happened to you on Earth, you have an amnesia, you're amnesic. Suddenly you don't remember at all what just happened. You are experiencing the moment, the present moment, and all your attention is on the present moment, 100%. So you're not even thinking of what just you left. You don't. It's like a curtain closed, you know, because I have to say that I knew I was going to die and I felt my energy had left, and I felt it was just like, you know, when you are diving for 10 years and then suddenly you think, oh, I don't want to dive anymore. I want to ski. And then just left that. That's how I felt. Oh, I'm not interested in Earth anymore. I'm done. I'm moving on. I didn't even have suicidal thoughts. But now that they were telling me it's time to go, I didn't remember anything. I was just like in the present moment, them telling me that. And for me, feeling that that's the thing I have to do. That's really what I need to do. It makes total sense. That's how my mind was. And they said telepathically, Yvonne, it's time to go. And the interesting thing, Eric, is that behind them, as they were telling me that telepathically, I could see behind them, there was a spaceship.
Wait a minute. Okay. I've talked to people that have gone through portals and seen the light and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're talking about a spaceship. I can't wait to hear this. Keep going.
Yeah. It took me actually, to tell you the truth, frankly, in 2008. So when I shared my first, my NDE the first time, it was 2012 to IANS. But it took me until last year to dare to share this NDE because of that element. I didn't dare. I thought people will think I'm totally insane.
Yeah.
They will never believe me. But last year I was interviewed and it slipped out of my mouth. And I said, okay, too late. I'm uncovered.
Cat's out of the bag. Okay. This is fascinating. And just to remind people, this is a safe, non-judgmental space here, okay? Other people can make whatever other conclusions they want to. I really, in all seriousness, want to hear about this, okay? And it may be that we can also interpret this in kind of different ways, too. So you see this spaceship. Keep going. Sorry for interrupting, by the way. Couldn't help myself.
I love that you're interacting, actually. No, please do. And for the listener, I work in IT, which is a very grounded industry. It's nothing woo-woo. I'm very sound-minded. I'm leading engineers and operation managers. So I have a very grounded job. So it's not that I'm, you know, that one person that is imagining thing.
Well, and if I thought that you had any kind of mental health issues or something like that, this interview wouldn't be out there.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
That's my nice way of saying, I don't think you're crazy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So there they are telling me it's time to go. And behind them is that spaceship. So the spaceship was, imagine an oval plate, it was pearly white, very beautiful, and it was open. Imagine, you know, a seashell open. So the top was open.
So it wasn't like a flying saucer that we think of.
It was like a flying saucer, but not It was, you know, as if I'm French and I have a hard time explaining that right now, but imagine that you put two plates, one on top of each other.
Yeah, one upside down.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so it was like a big flying saucer.
Like a big flying saucer, absolutely. And it was white, pearly white. And it the top was open, facing me. And so they said, Yvonne, it's time to go. And I said, yes, like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm used to what's happening. It's totally making sense. And so I went in between both of them. And we proceeded towards that spaceship. And as we arrive in front of the spaceship, we enter the spaceship. And there were three seats. One of the being or celestial escort or a celestial, you know, soldier, I don't know how to call him. They never introduced themselves. So sat on to my left. I sat in the middle. There were three seats. I sat in the middle. And then to my right was the other one. So we sat there, the top of the saucer closed, the being, the celestial being to my right, angelic being, or I don't know, they never told me who they were, to the right, with his left hand, pulled a handle. And when he did that, we crossed the entire universe in 1 second. When I say 1 second, it's literally 1 second. Shh. And I can still feel what it feels to be in space. It's a very different feeling than being in this atmosphere. It was like 1 second. We just had crossed the entire, just like in the science fiction movie when you see that, you know, they go into.
Like the hyperdrive and all the stars go shooting by.
Yeah. And you know, I wasn't expecting anything like that because I was raised in my faith. Anything that was spaceship or extraterrestrial, everything like that was from the devil. So to me, that experience, I cannot have imagined that in my mind or anything because it was not in my hard drive, in my brain hard drive. And so we arrive, we cross the entire universe. And I see us kind of land. I don't know what happened between the moment we land, but I'm instantly inside an extremely illuminated space. It's indoor, and there are about 20 to 25 beings of light waiting for me. They were so happy to see me arriving. They were excited. They said, she's here, she's here, she's here. And they said, she is back.
Did you recognize any of them? Did you know who they were?
I totally knew them, but I didn't recognize them, if that makes sense. I knew them. I knew them. I knew that they were my family. I knew that they were my creed, my tribe. I was home. They were part of my tribe. I knew them. I knew, I was familiar with them, but I didn't say, oh, it was John or Mark or Angie or,
okay,
you know, or Miriam. So I did, but I knew I was home. I knew I was home. I knew it's very unique because it felt like I was waking up from a nightmare, and the nightmare was my life, was Earth. And I was like, oh my God. I am so excited. I'm so relieved that what I was experiencing on Earth is not really me. I was so relieved. It's just like anyone who has a nightmare and wake up and say, oh my God, I'm so happy that it wasn't a reality. That's exactly how I felt. I felt that Earth was many planets away, very far in the cosmos, and I was there for something that I knew I had to do. But that was not my home. That here was home with all the beings out there. That's what I knew. So those beings were there waiting for me. And I'm excited. I feel like I'm finally home. And they are so excited that they, just like when you have a birthday party, and everybody's around you and celebrating you all, and you're the point of joy. And that's how I felt. I was a point of their joy. They were so happy to see me. They were so happy. And I was happy to see them too. And we were hugging and embracing, and then we sat on there. Everything in that place was made of light. The ground was light. There were some type of furniture, but they were made of solid light, and not just a random light. Everything was divine light, was God's light. Everything was God's light, was divine light. It was everywhere. Divinity was everywhere. We didn't have to even question it. It was everywhere. And those beings that were waiting for me were also made of light inside. There was no bone, no. It was also, they were made of light. So they were emanating light all around them as well. So we all sat together. For some reason, they didn't have white robes, those beings. They were just normal outfit. But everything was made of light. And we sat on a subtype of sofa. Everything is light, solid light. They are hugging me. They are asking me to catch up what I'm doing on Earth. And they are all wanting to serve me. Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? And I have to say that because that's how we treat one another in the world of light. The other person is the most important person, not us. It's the opposite of Earth. On Earth, it's all about me, me, me. And the society is pushing it so that we forget about everyone around us, but we just want to be auto-satisfied. And the society is just brainwashing everyone, and there's anxiety if we are not recognized. But in the other world, the total happiness is to make the other one happy and to serve the other one. And everyone is like that with each other. So they were trying to give me, how are you? How are you making me comfortable? And we were catching up. I was home. I was like, I was finally home. I was so happy. I said, oh my God, I'm so happy I'm home. But after a while like that, a female being came towards me, took me outside of the group. I think she was more senior, more advanced. And she actually put her hands on my cheek, her two hands on my cheek, on both sides of my cheeks. And then she said, your experience on planet Earth is such a difficult one. I said, yeah, it's horrible. I said, yeah, it's difficult. It's so difficult. I said, it's really hard. And she said, but you have to go back. You cannot stay. You have to go back. You'll come back later. You have to go back. And you have to go back now, because that container, which is your body there, if you don't go back now, it's not going to be able to welcome you back in. So you have to go back. And when she said that, those two beings, those two divine escort soldiers, were back to drive me back there. I have to tell you something that I forgot to tell you, is that those two beings, when we came from Earth, when we crossed the entire universe to go to that home that I'm talking about, I could feel each time I was with them, whether to go there and come back, I could feel that those two angel or angelic being or soldier were so powerful that nothing in the entire cosmos could ever happen to me. I was ultra protected. They were so divine, powerfully made that if there were other race, other planet, other, I don't know, well, nothing could ever touch me. They were that powerful. And so when she said, you have to go back, those two beings were there. And the same way we came, I went in between them. We entered the spaceship, it closed, and the same way, in 1 second, we crossed and we came back to Earth. Again, I felt my spirit coming back inside my body.
All right. Here come 100 questions. I'm sorry, were you finished?
I just want to say that that's when I knew that I existed before. In the faith I had before my NDE, we were created here. We never existed before. But the fact that they said, you're back, made me think, okay, so I existed before I was on Earth. And that's was something I had to see.
That totally makes sense. Okay, you've had time to think about all of this. So I want your opinion on some of it, if you have figured it out. And my first one is, why do you think you needed to be in some kind of spaceship? Couldn't they have just transported you without?
That's a big question, because I've been talking about that with my sister. As I said, my sister in Brussels also had a near-death experience, because she had something, a tumor. And for her, she was welcomed by one being of light, but he took her through the cosmos without any spaceship. And she saw all the stars and everything. And my two sister had also, can you believe that we are three? My two sister had near-death experiences.
Wow.
It's unheard of. And when I shared mine to my older sister, she said, oh, I had also two. She said when she gave birth to her twins, and then when she choked because she had a bone of some meat blocked on her throat. I mean, it's horrible. But the three of us, but the one Mimi, the one in the middle, is the one who had who was taken through space without spaceship. I don't know why that element was added for me. I've always thought of that. Maybe because, you know, I'm not very daring. I'm not somebody who is going to do all kind of daring things, and I'll just like my comfort and things well done. I'm very daring emotionally, but not physically. So I don't know. Maybe they wanted to make me feel comfortable. I have no idea, Eric. I'm not going to lie or create a story.
No, that's okay. I just wondered what you thought of it. The two beings, and I like your term guides.
Yeah.
Would you also call them angels?
When I had my NDE, I called them angels because they had the white robe, they had the blondish hair. So I called them, but I didn't have any wings. But I called them, now I say angelic beings of light beings. Angelic beings, or guides. Some people say guides.
Well, and who's to say angels have to have wings?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that kind of a man-made thing anyway?
Not necessarily, because when I was with Jesus, that's why I called them angels, because the children angels and the women angels, they had wings. The beings I met in this near-death experience, they were human beings like us, but made of light. And those two beings had no wings. So I think in that world, you have all kind of beings. You have angels, you have humans, you have all kind of beings. We would be surprised when we go there of all the different people we meet.
Maybe they needed the spaceship because they didn't have wings.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think they could just drive. They could fly like that, probably.
back to the NDE that we talked about previously. You just mentioned the children angels. Let's get back to that for one second. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I found that fascinating and beautiful. Why do you think they were children versus most angels that I hear about or people in the spirit realm appear as adults, young adults?
Well, you can have, you know, and I have, you know, I've been at Ion since 2013 and I've heard other stories. Not necessarily, you know, you have worlds, there's a world, you know, there's an angelic population in heaven as well, or in the light, or we are human beings, but there's the angelic world. And when I say go back to your mothers, it was not their mothers necessarily, probably of flesh like we have. Probably the ones raising them were called mothers.
Raising them spiritually.
Yes, yes.
Not the physical body, okay.
But they probably were, you know, were probably going to go to the stature of adult. Listen, when my sister had her NDE, she went back and she saw not angels, but she saw children spirits in a spiritual school. And when they saw her, they ran into her to her and said, yeah, she's back, like me. But then when she went to them, she realized that she was their teacher in the spirit world. And she had accepted to come as a human to learn life so that she could teach them more, because there is a whole population in the light, beings of light, spirits that never came to earth or other dimension. They stayed in the world of light And we can bring back to that those beings what we have learned, because when you're constantly in a world of light with God and you have love and joy, you don't know what betrayal means or what hunger means or distress. All those aspects are the opposite of God's love. And when we learn all that, we learn even more the dimension of unconditional love. One thing I want to say about that, Eric, my first IONS ever was in Scottsdale, Arizona in 2013. I had never done any interviews ever. I had none. I wasn't known. It was my very first time going to something to meet other people like me. And I met a woman. We went to dinner with other people. We were there at a dinner, and she was from Europe and she was from the Netherlands. So we connected immediately. I'm from Belgium, Netherlands, we're neighboring countries. And she looked at me and she said, and I had never met her. Nobody knew my story. She said, "I've met you in the Crystal City. You were with Children Angels." So you see what I mean?
Yeah. You just blew my mind. That's cool. That's really cool.
We stayed friends until now. We are like twin, because she saw me there. And I don't have that memory. Because remember, I was walking towards the City of Light. But then suddenly I was in the black velvety space talking to Jesus. So I must have gone there, but my memory was blocked.
Yeah.
Like many experiencers, we have a lot of memories blocked.
Sure. And some of those things come out later. You've had quite a few years.
Yeah.
To process them. Okay. All right. Here's the next question. In the spirit realm, flew in a flying saucer. Okay. And I don't want that to sound silly. I'm not making fun or anything. But has that affected what you think about with things going on here? The reality or non-reality of UFOs here and ETs here and people that are abducted here and things like that? What is your belief in those things? And did your spiritual experience affect your beliefs at all?
Yes, actually, after that experience, I started to Google spaceship, alien, because I wanted to have an answer, and it was not in my own group that I could have that, because we didn't believe in all that. So I started to be very interested in seeing planets and different places, to just understand my experience. I had a few more, but it's going to be for another day, a few more spaceship situation and planet situations after that. BMH Atwater, who is a very renowned writer, I met with her, and she's doing a new book, new research on near-death experiencers that have an element of extraterrestrial in their NDE or spaceship. And she admitted that after all those years, that she also had one element of that, but she never dared to share it either because it's always so ridiculed. So it could happen that some people that had near-death experience after their NDE would have element of other world situation. That was the case for me. I did have another experience, another spaceship. So for me, I started to think of, that's what I think now, but I don't have the truth in things. I do believe that there is a physical world with different planets and, yes, different life form on different planets, because it wouldn't make sense that we have millions of galaxies and suddenly just for us Earth human to be alive. That's actually very self-centered,
very arrogant attitude, yes.
It does make sense that if there are other planets, other galaxies, other, that there is life there. So that makes sense. And I have a French YouTube channel on NDEs, and I interviewed a lady who, she's now 85 years old. She had an NDE in when she was giving birth in her early 30s. She doesn't speak any English. She doesn't know anything about alien or about extraterrestrial, nothing. And there's very little literature in French on that topic anyway. So when she had her near-death experience dying from giving birth, she had lost all her blood. And it's a French interview that I have done of her. And she said that she was in a spaceship too. And then there was that being with a white long robe also. And that one being told her that she was from Venus and that they'd been helping people on Earth for centuries to grow into that unconditional love state and become more loving beings that can connect directly with God, because we are not a very advanced planet, let's put it that way. So yeah, I do believe there are other beings, but I do believe there's two different things: the planets and the universe and the aliens and the extraterrestrial. And when you die, when you go to the other world, the world of light, the world of God, the world of where we come from, you know. So that's two different worlds. I mean, because the physical world, people are still alive. All those beings are still alive, like we are alive here. And then at some point die and go back to the center of all creation, which is God. That's what I believe. But I may be wrong. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I asked your opinion, and I appreciate your opinion. Can you expound on that any? Where do you think we came from?
What I do believe is, and that's a belief I have after having many friends that didn't have a near-death experience when they were alive, but remember who they were before coming to Earth, the pre-birth memories. So when I talk to them, and also when I read some of the books, we come from that world of light where we were in the center of creation with Creator, with Father. Everyone is a spirit, a soul. And then we make our journey towards either Earth or other dimensions, other worlds, other planets, to experience what we want to experience on this Earth. I have a very dear friend. She had a pre-birth memory. She remembered choosing the planet, choosing how she was going to look like, and also what religion she would have for what she wanted to learn on Earth. And that was big. So I do believe we are souls and we are amazing beings, amazing spirit of light. We are royalty. And we come on a journey to help and to learn and to help as well. I think when we can give love, and that's the only reason I do those interviews. It's not out of an ego thing, oh, I want to be on an interview. It's more like because I want to spread love, I want to spread awakening, that we can give love to others, that our first purpose is to love and be loved. And we can expand that every day in our life. We can do, we can give, we can look at somebody and smile. We can open a door. We can help somebody in need. If somebody tells you a problem, you can be there and hold the space with them and listen and encourage. That's a big purpose. Everyone is always, oh, what is my purpose on Earth? What's my mission? It's very easy. The first mission is we love ourselves and we love others unconditionally the best way we can. And that's a huge mission. I think we're here and the people that have had that experience of spiritual awakening or are in a religion, and I don't want to criticize any religion, because everyone in a way, deep down, is trying to connect with Creator or God or Source or God. They're trying to connect to that ultimate love and goodness of life. And, you know, because everyone is thinking we are in the truth, you have the truth, I have the truth. I mean, sometimes it just makes my head spin, because everyone is just defending their own spirituality, like the truth. And we're all, as long as you connect with God's love, you're in the right direction. And everything else we'll know when we go there.
Beautifully said. Yvonne, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Eric. It was a real pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.